Chapter 4. The planet Ossus hung limned in fire, a giant gray pearl floating between the orange globes of two suns. It was gray because the entire world was covered in clouds. It was covered in clouds because twice each year, Ossus passed directly between its two stars. Blasted by radiant energy from opposite sides, it went several weeks without night. Planetary temperatures skyrocketed, changing most of the surface water into atmospheric vapor. Alana Solo knew all that because she had read it in the Intelligence Ministry briefing file, along with a warning that conditions were so steamy during this period that pilots departing the surface would be flying blind until they reached space. But to 9-year-old Alana, staring out at the world from the royal stateroom aboard the Dragon Queen II, it seemed like Ossus was trying to keep the Jedi young ones home, to prevent the Jedi Academy from being evacuated, even if it meant the death of every last student.
"There's no need to worry."
Alana's mother came to stand in the observation bubble next to her.
"Your grandparents have been doing this sort of thing since before I was born."
Alana nodded and glanced at her mother's reflection in the transparisteel. Wearing a gray flight suit with a rancor-toothed lightsaber hanging from a belt across her hips, she looked more like a Jedi Knight than the Queen Mother of the Hapes Consortium. It was a style of attire that Tenel Ka wore only in private, and a rare glimpse, Alana knew, into the life that one of the most powerful women in the galaxy wished she could live. When Alana did not reply, her mother took her hand.
"They're going to be fine. If anyone can do this, it's Han and Leia Solo."
"I don't think you can promise that," Alana said, continuing to study the cloud-veiled planet in front of them. "Even Grandpa and Grandma don't usually fly into the middle of a Sith ambush. At least not on purpose."
"No, not usually,"
her mother allowed.
"But that's why we're here. With the Hapen Battle Flotilla waiting to pounce, the Sith might not decide to attack at all."
Alana rolled her eyes.
"Even I understand the Sith better than that, and I'm only 9.
Her mother chuckled.
"Well, perhaps it was more of a hope than a belief," she allowed. "But we both know what a mistake it is to underestimate your grandparents."
Alana started to agree, but stopped when her pet Nexu, Angie, growled a warning. Alana glanced toward the interior of the stateroom and saw her mother's cousin and confidant, Trista Zell, approaching. Knowing that Trista would not be interrupting unless it was important, Alana silenced Angie with a hand signal, then stepped aside to make room in the little observation bubble. Trista flashed an apologetic smile.
"Sorry to interrupt, cousin,"
she said. Had anyone else addressed the Queen Mother so casually, they would have been banished to the transitory mists.
"But you wanted to be informed when the Sith make their move."
Tenel Ka raised her brow.
"Already?"
Trista nodded.
"The scouts have spotted a wing of Skipray 12Js entering the atmosphere on the far side of the planet."
12Js?
Tenel Ka echoed.
"Where'd they come up with something that old?"
Trista shrugged.
"We're still working on that, Majesty," she said. "What's important is that TACCON thinks they'll use the cloud cover to hit the convoy as it leaves the Academy. Commander Skeeler recommends launching 2 wings of Mytils to support Vork Squadron and protect the convoy."
Tenel Ka thought for a moment, then nodded.
"Inform the Solos, but send 4 wings instead."
Trista's eyes widened.
"4 wings?"